Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. Joining me in studio right now, folks from the Calumet Copper Bots. And we're going to learn a little bit about FIRST Robotics and what they've got in store for this year's competition. I am joined by the instructor, Todd Warrior from Calumet High School, also Tasia Davies, Lowell Torola, and Xander Worm. Welcome again to the program.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about FIRST Robotics. I love how robotics teams have taken off here in the Copper Country. A number of the schools now have teams. I think I've had the Houghton team in here before on this program a few years ago, and I've talked to, I think it was Dollar Bay, Tamarack City, that, you know, has a relatively new team over the last couple of years. And so it's been kind of neat to see people get involved in this. But for those that don't know what FIRST Robotics is, Todd, let's start with you. Can you give us a little bit of background and tell me about the program?
Sure. Well, FIRST Robotics has three levels. There's a elementary level that has a Lego League. And then there's a middle school that has an FTC. It's a step up, more of an a rector set kind of program where there's more detail that you have and more of a challenge than there is at the Lego League, but still a little less on the fabrication end. And then you have the FRC that we compete in, the Copper Bots. And we really do full fabrication robots where we're building from just raw materials and a set of electronics. And we build a robot that has to compete in a program that about 4,000 other teams are competing in as well worldwide.
Is this a class or is it an after-school program? How does it work at Calumet?
At Calumet, we are an after-school program, but we do bring in a lot of our machine shop and our CAD classes that are actually integrated in. I'm fortunate to have a number of students on the team that are involved in these classes. So there is class time that they work on it, but our club is exclusively after school, with the exception of really bringing in those courses and all the offerings that Calumet does have to really start to empower our build.
And as I mentioned, we have three students here from the team, and I believe two seniors and a freshman, right? Is that what we have?
Oh, I'm a sophomore, actually.
You're a sophomore. Really? I thought you were a senior as well. So nice, good representation from across the board. So, Tasia, I'm going to start with you just since you've been on the team longer than the other two. And I believe we met once a few years ago when I did a news story for ABC News. And you were, I think, a freshman at the team at that time. Yeah. Talk about how you've grown just over these few years and now that you're one of the veterans on the team.
Well, my freshman year in robotics, I wasn't really one of the key members. And even just then, that year, we ended up making it to both the state competition and the world's competition. But I would say that was the first of our three-year, what I like to call legacy, I guess. We really started to incorporate computer-aided design, not as much as we do now, but we started a lot. I still didn't know very much as a freshman. Then my sophomore year, we even more so incorporated computer-aided design. We tried to get more into the machine shop and tried to really expand our horizons and how much we could incorporate computer-aided design and all of the different aspects that the school would offer us in the machine shop and the CAD lab. And then, so that year I helped a lot more with the design, but I still didn't do very much. Then my junior year, we ended up losing, I think, four of our key members on the team. And I was the team member who had been on the team for the longest amount of time, and that was terrifying for me because I didn't know very much compared to anyone else. We had me, two first-year members, and then I think we had five freshmen who had just exited out of First Tech Challenge, like Mr. Warrior was talking about, but didn't know very much about FIRST Robotics competition at all. And so that year was what I guess we call the rebuilding year, and we had to then really set in stone all of the different aspects that FIRST Robotics requires in order to actually compete at even a state level. We had to learn our pneumatics, we had to learn computer-aided design, we had to better learn programming, and all of the different core groups like that, whether it was mechanical with it or other departments. Nobody really knew how to do those things. Our programmer knew the most basic level of programming, and our mechanical department knew the most basic level of mechanical, but we worked really, really hard to make sure that everybody knew something about each robot, and we all ended up pretty much knowing the robot like the back of our hand. And I mean, We ended up being state champs, so I say that we did pretty good.
Well, I was going to ask about, you know, how the legacy of the team that you had mentioned there. But first of all, I've been really just impressed with just your grasp of the terminology and your knowledge of, you know, the robotics that, you know, that you just shared in. Mm-hmm. So it's, they're not playing with models, you know, that, you know, these are they're really learning the introduction and basics of robotics.
You know, I've been around this for 8 years now, and I mean, I've seen the growth, and it's just, I mean, it's amazing, but I've also been there and seen every bit of it. So it's not as shocking to me on at what level these kids are working. We've had a few community members that came in, and they left with their jaws hanging open saying, I can't believe this is really what you're doing at a high school level. I mean, this is really evolved to such a high level of precision, and their designs are absolutely amazing. And actually to think that they're not only just theorizing and designing this, but then they're fabricating it. So you are not given a kit. I know that's one of those questions we get. And it's like, well, where's the parts kit? And our parts kit is found in metal dumpsters, and we literally scrap, you know, in many years we've been very fortunate. We've had some fantastic people that have helped us get some more material on hand, but many years we would go through and just literally find and say, well, what do we have? And then what do we do with that? So we had additional challenges in the past. But yeah, it is not a kit, and it's truly their ideas, and and they're the ones doing the machining. They're the ones doing the design. There's no engineers on staff. There are no, you know, there's a few other helpers and a few other staff members that guide them along the way. But this is their brainchild, and it's pretty fantastic. And I said I never really noticed it until I had those a few of the community members that came in and made me look at it again from their eyes. It's a pretty impressive group.
It's Taja, right? Or Taja?
Taja.
Taja, okay. Like Fantasia.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. What's your role currently on the team?
So I'm the team captain. So this year it's kind of more overseeing a lot of different tasks as well as like helping out in a bunch of different departments. But this year, one of the main goals of myself, of course, Mr. Warrior, because he's the coach, and a few other members that are really key members on the team, was making sure that the freshmen got completely introduced to the program. So the beginning of the year was doing different workshops in all of the different core components and departments of robotics that I had mentioned, computer-aided design and programming and pneumatics, electronics, and mechanical, just to make sure that all of the freshmen, once the senior members would leave the team, that they also knew what everybody else knew, just to make sure that the team has knowledge all around and that everybody can be a part of everything that's going on.
All right, I want to pass the torch along over to Xander here to get you introduced. So you're a sophomore on this team, so tell me about your role.
What I mostly do would be the mechanical department, basically your force transfer between your motors and your wheels. So everything from getting that power to the ground to lifting or pulling, all the motion, that falls under mechanical's kind of umbrella, you could say. I more or less oversee that general specific kind of part of it, but it's very rewarding for myself, who's looking at a mechanical field. So it's real life experience of what it's like to be an engineer in a mechanical field. This is mechanical engineering brought down to a high school level, except the theory is all college level.
Now, Tasia was saying that last year was kind of a rebuilding year, and that's when you came on?
That's right. It was
Was it last year or the year before?
It was last year.
Last year, okay.
We call it our rebuilding year, but it was our best year yet, to be honest with you. We lost a bunch of great members, but we actually gained some great talent and are still gaining some great talent with our freshmen that are coming on this year. Every year we're getting better and better, and I think it's exponential. We're going to be even better next year.
Now, Lowell joining the team as a freshman, do you feel the pressure now because you know they've had some success and they got some really great talent on this team?
I would say I feel less pressure because, I mean, it's not the same situation as last year where you're coming in. You know, they lost, you know, where they have pretty much all freshmen, and then, you know, Tasia was like the one truly senior member. So, I mean, it's not as much pressure really, so much as you can just learn, you know, sit back, learn, and then get involved once you think you have the concepts based, you know, you have them understood.
Okay. What's your role this year right now as a freshman then?
Well, my official role is programming, but I like to get involved in most of the areas. For example, I like to dabble with mechanical, not so much like the theory of mechanical, but more like assembling, you know, fabricating, things like that.
Getting your hands dirty.
Yeah.
I got you. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about the robotics itself. So let's first start with the success of the team, as has been alluded to a couple of times. And Todd, if you want to give us just the last few years, talk about just how this team has done.
You know, we were just talking on the way down, and I know Tasia's been around for the last, well, this is her fourth year, and we've been pretty fortunate. Our last 3 years, we've made it to the state championship all 3 years. We've made it to the world championships 2 years, and we went to St. Louis 1 year and Detroit last year, and Tasia said, and we were the state champions last year, along with an alliance. There are always alliances of three in this first robotics, so there were two other team members that were co-state champions, but there's 600 teams in Michigan, so it's a pretty, and there's no divisions. This is just everybody is on that same field, whether you're from Calumet, Michigan, or you're from Detroit and you're building your robot at the GM Proving Grounds. We're all thrown in the same pot, so we get to, I mean, we are truly competing with the best teams in the world, and just incredible to see that this little team of seven mostly rookies could actually come together and put their dream together, and all of a sudden, you know, but it's the work too. I mean, there's nobody at the school that puts in more hours than we do. I mean, it's not a brag, it's just a fact. You know, we're there and we're working, and that light's on in one of our three shops that we happen to be in, either our robot build space or our fabrication lab or our metal shop. And these kids put the hours in. I mean, they're calling me on the snow day and said, hey, when can we meet? So we don't take really days off. We don't take much time off, but it's just it's a passion. So it's been so evident with how we've grown in these past 3 years, especially.
So it's a competition. How is the competition decided?
When you
have your competitions, I know you have a regional, and then you have the states, and then you have the worlds. I think, is there a district too? Or is it just go regional just right to states?
Well, we compete. We have to compete in two district events. Michigan is the largest district, and there's about 4,500 teams worldwide. Michigan's the largest, and it is the place for engineering in the world, and it's pretty exciting to be a part of that. So we actually have a two district competitions that we go to, and then how we qualify in those two districts dictate if we make it to the state championship.
All right, Tasia, why don't you tell me what happens at a competition? Let's go with states or something. Okay, what are you doing down there? What's your robots expected to do?
So we start with the qualification rounds, which there's usually, what would you say, Mr. Roy, about 40 qualification rounds
that we compete in?
Yeah, completely different matches. We only compete in about 12.
Right, we compete at 12, and at the state level, there's typically 120 qualifications. At the districts, there's probably about 80 that take place during a three-day. It's a three-day event. So these things are going on. They're short matches, 2.5 minutes, but they are one after another. And, you know, we only play, Tasia said, we play in 12 during those 3 days, or those 2.5 days.
Okay. Well, what's the robot expected to do?
It's completely different year to year. The game gets released, and then based upon the exact instructions that are placed in the game manual, our robot chooses. We choose during the 6 weeks time that we're allotted to build our robot, we choose specific aspects of the game that we want to do and hopefully do better than most robots in order to compete on that state and world level. Then we go, and like Mr. Warrior was saying, we have an alliance of three robots, so it's ourselves and two other robots every match, and we take about 12 matches, and then after those 12 matches, we get ranked among all of the other teams, and then we go to quarterfinals, semifinals, hopefully finals, and we do as good as we can.
Have you been told what the game is this year so far? Have they announced that yet?
Yeah, they have. Okay. Xander actually has the game manual with him, so he can
run that down for you. All right, Xander, why don't you tell us what we got, what's on tap for this year?
So this year, the basic plan is it's a field. It's kind of like a basketball court, a little smaller, maybe like a half court size. And there is, in the center, there's called a cargo ship. And it kind of looks like, it's like a big rectangular prism with some of the corners chopped off, basically.
Okay.
If you can visualize that, think about there's some balls, and those need to go in these, it's like a chute on top of there. But they'll fall out if you don't have another piece on this bottom part of the chute. So you got to block off the chute first, and you can start putting balls in the chutes. And there's 8 chutes on these cargo ships. Your goal is to fill them all. As well as the cargo ship, there are 2 rockets on either side. The field is divided into 2 sides, kind of right by the half. So there's a red team and a blue team. The red team's going to stay on their side, and the blue team stays on their side. But each team, they have 2 rockets on their side. And the rockets are kind of the same deal as that cargo ship. It's got a big chute that you can put your cargo balls in, and needs to be blocked off before you can put your balls in. Otherwise, it'll roll right out. And these rockets reach up to about 8 to 9 feet. That's about how high they are. The very tip is 10, but you're going to be putting things up about 9 feet roughly. It's also, there's kind of an off-roading section to it where you're supposed to climb up a very small ramp. That's your first stage. And then harder than that, you have to climb up. It's like a stair that's 9 inches, excuse me, 9 inches off of that ramp. And above that, there's another, it's kind of a step, but even higher than that 9 inches, it's 1 foot and 1 inch off of that. So you're getting up about 2 feet above the actual playing field. And that's kind of your end game, is where you're supposed to end up. You end up as high as you can possibly go.
I've seen video on your Facebook page of different matches, and then I know that some of these actually end up on television, too. There was some high school broadcast that I had taped for a while when my daughter was on the team so that I could watch that. It was really cool. The attention this gets, especially when you get to the national level. Now, you do have mentioned the alliances. What if it's an alliance, and is there a way to work that in your favor, to say, well, it's important to have a good alliance?
Well, for most of the qualification, it's random. So you get a good team, that's good. You get a bad team, well, better luck next time. But, so, I mean, it's fair. It's fair.
Some robots perform some of those tasks better than others?
Most definitely. There are certain robots you can tell that they put in a lot of work and a lot of time, and they might have had some help along the way just because some of the things you see are incredibly genius out there. But then there's the teams that are the weekend clubs. You know, they get together on the weekend and they do a little bit of building, but it's not as serious.
Yeah, Mr. Wario was mentioning about how, you know, some of those teams that you guys compete against, they've they get a lot of help. They're well funded, and they have good materials, and certainly some good brains. Even though it is a student run program, it's always nice to be able to ask advice from somebody that is working in NASA or something. Yeah.
There are a number of NASA sponsored teams, and they do build with engineers. I mean, the idea of the program is that, I mean, nobody knows how to engineer these things just intuitively. So, I mean, it is learning, and the idea is that you work collaboratively with experts, and you pull in those people. And that's what, I mean, we really try, and we have had some Michigan Tech students that come up occasionally. And I said they're really great on the programming end. I mean, they are extremely sharp. I mean, we've had trouble getting engineers in that can help with some of the mechanical parts, but so we've worked our way around it. But there are teams that are working with $100,000+ budgets in their own private build spaces with teams. I mean, some of these teams, they'll have 100 students and they'll have 30 mentors, and they'll be coming there, and it's, I mean, they're incredible devices and incredible teams. And but I know always these larger teams, when these, because these kids get to collaborate with them, and they're always envious. They're like, you get to work on the robot. So it's kind of neat. You know, some of these kids, they're on the team, but they're working in a marketing role, or they're working in, because they departmentalize. And that's really what that idea is too, is that you're they always say it's much more than robots. You know, it's about building all those other skills that are important in what they're going to see next. It may not be that engineering role, but it might be something else. So these other teams, they'll build websites, which you know, we're in the process of doing right now, you know, but we're just doing it with 10 students versus 100. So, but it's a different experience, but I think they get more from it because they get to see every single aspect, where some of these large teams may see a little more success, but they're, I don't think they're quite getting the experience that these guys do.
Now, it says a lot because, you know, when you look at the success that the teams have had from, you know, both Houghton and Calumet as well, and some of the others. Now, I don't believe that CLK's got $100,000 set aside for your robotics team. So how do you fund this?
That is the question every year. These kids really grind, and we've had some fantastic local support. I mean, there's just some people that we couldn't even start this process with. But that's always, I mean, this is about with a successful year where we have about a $20,000 bill at the end of it. The competitions are expensive, but it's a nonprofit. It really is. When you see what it takes to put these events on, you understand why it's so expensive. There's a $5,000 just entry fee, and that doesn't, that gets you about maybe $500 to $600 worth of electronics and some supplies. But the rest of that $5,000 goes towards the events, goes towards building these elaborate playing fields, and hosting the events. Then every step we go past, the state event is another $3,000, the Worlds is another $4,000. And I mean, you do get it when you see the quality of what this program is. And that doesn't even account for anything that we have to come up with just to build this robot. And I said, we build a lot out of scrap or what we can scrounge. And we also have to get ourselves there. Transportation isn't cheap. I mean, we have parents drive. We use as much as we can our school vans, and we stay in some places that are not five-star resorts. But we're there, and let me tell you, the smiles on their face at the end of it. It's, you know, after 14-hour days, it doesn't matter. It's still a great experience. I know Xander has a list of some people that we can give a little mention of that so far have just been, I mean, they've been outstanding through the years. And like I said, we definitely need more support, but there have been some people that have just been there for us in the last, you know, when we needed for the last 3 years.
Right. And it's really important. This program couldn't happen without these people. This year, Royale was an incredible sponsor of us, donated a ton of money, and that's our robot right there. They basically donated us a robot. Calumet Electronics was huge for us. Fisher Unitech, which is a nice corporation, did a ton for us. They always do. Mayflower Consulting is great. Erico Electric, Thermo Analytics, Cafe Rosetta, UPEA Engineers and Architects, the UP Janitorial Service, Superior Polymer, GS Engineering, Designotype Printers, UP.net, and Barrica Telephone. And there's just some special people we'd like to thank, like Andrew Hallinan, Doug Germu, who is part of Royale, Designotype Printers, and UP.net, because they've actually hosted our website, copperbots.org. It is up right now, and it has a link to our Facebook page, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And our CrowdRaise, I think. Mm-hmm. So if you'd like to make a donation as well, please visit copperbots.org or our Facebook page, and that's copperbots.org. Any donation would be incredibly appreciated. And we'd also like to thank Glenn Simmel and GS Engineering, and a major mentor of ours, Derek Wanacott, who helps with everything from mechanical to electrical to programming.
And it's kind of neat. Like we have a few people with a special relationship like that. Derek was around for 3 years as a mentor. He was working on a PhD at Tech, and he's one of those people you gravitate towards, because he is that, you know, he just pulls you in. He is awesome. And he's now in Detroit, but we call him up pretty regularly. I know we've done the SOS to Derek many times when we run into those problems that we as a team can't figure out. He's a, you know, he's a, just a, the programmer and all around just a robotics brilliant fella. So we rely on other people, but he's a great one.
All right. Well, I know you guys are going to be busy in the next few weeks getting your robot ready for this competition. When is the first time you have to have it ready?
Well, we do a bag day. So bag day means we have 6 weeks from our game reveal, which was Saturday, and we have 6 weeks to build it. It's actually February 19th is our final day to keep our hands on the robot. Then it literally goes in a big bag that we tag, and it's an honor system, but it's respected. It's, you know, the value of the program is that you have integrity. And then after that, our first competition is in Kingsford, but it's not till March 15th, I believe. So there's a Kingsford event, then there's a Lake State event that's a couple weeks later. So it's really mid-March is when we're going to compete. But even when that thing goes in the bag, there's still... We take a day off typically, but then we're back at it because there's things to get ready. Then what are we going to do with this competition? Then we work on the game itself and the gameplay and there's so many facets to that itself.
All right. Well, I appreciate everybody coming in. My guest has been Todd Wario, along with the students on the Copperbots team, Tasia Davies, Lowell Torola, and Xander Worm. Good luck with the competitions this year and go Copperbots.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.